of a material body. Indriyab, material senses. Asu, life breath. Inanam, of those devoid. Vaikunthapura, of Vaikuntha. Vasinam, of the residence. Deyasam Pwanda, any material body. Samvadam, bondage. Etat, this. Akyatum Arasi, please describe. So translation, the bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life veil. Therefore, kindly explain how associates of the personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in material bodies like ordinary persons. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. This very significant question would be difficult for an ordinary person to answer, but Narada Muni, being an authority, could answer it. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from him, saying, Etad akyatam arisi, only you can explain the reason. From authoritative sources, it can be discerned that associates of Lord Vishnu who descend from Vaikuntha do not actually fall. They come with the purpose of fulfilling the desire of the Lord, and their descent to this material world is comparable to that of the Lord. The Lord comes to this material world through the agency of His internal potency. And similarly, when a devotee or associate of the Lord descends to this material world, he does so through the action of the spiritual energy. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jaya and Vijaya descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. Of course, a living entity who desires a Yuja Mukti remains in Krishna's Brahman effulgence, which is dependent on Krishna's body, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Such an impersonalist who takes shelter of the Brahman effulgence must surely fall down. This is stated in the Shastra and the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 32. Yene ravanyaksha vimuktamaninas twayashta bhavada shura buddhaya aryukrishena param padam tata patanchito nadrita yushmad ongrayaha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest point of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence, for they do not take shelter at your lotus feet. The impersonalists cannot reach the Vaikuntha planets to become associates of the Lord, and therefore, according to their desires, Krishna gives them Kayuja Mukti. However, since Ayuja Mukti is partial mukti, they must fall again to this material world. When it is said that the individual soul falls from Brahmaloka, this applies to the impersonalist. From authoritative sources, it is learned that Jaya and Vijaya were sent to this material world to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight. The Lord also sometimes wants to fight, but who can fight with the Lord but a very confidential devotee of the Lord? Jaya and Vijaya descended to this world to fulfill the Lord's desire. Therefore, in each of their three births, first is Aranyakashipu and Aranyaksha, second is Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and third is Shishupala and Dantavakra, the Lord personally killed them. In other words, these associates of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, descended to the material world to serve the Lord by fulfilling His desire to fight. Otherwise, as Maharaj Yudhisthira says, Ashtadeya viva iva pati. The statement that a servant of the Lord could fall from Vaikuntha seems unbelievable. How Jaya and Vijaya came to this material world is explained by Narada Muni as follows. So, Dehendriya suhinanam Vaikuntha puravasinam Deya samanda sambhotvam etarakyatum arhasi. So, Om Ganati Vedanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Vinchan Yena Tismai Shikalinga Maha. So, this word liberation, which devotees use quite a bit and Prabhupada uses and the Vedic literatures use, it's called mukti. So, technically, mukti basically means to be free from something. It doesn't necessarily mean that one goes back to Godhead. Because there's different types of mukti. We'll speak about them. First of all, there's the mukti that one gets just by following the Ratha Yatra card, just by chanting Hare Krishna once, Namavas chanting. And that's the mukti that one becomes free from karma, free from his past activities, even something called prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma, there's different types of karma we have. There's kuta, bija, and then the actual act, the karmic act, prarabdha karma, aparabdha karma. Not to know what I mean by that. Kuta means the inclination to do something karmic in this world, either good or bad. You know, there's good karma, bad karma. But both are actually entangling in the material world. So that's kuta. Kuta means inclination. And then bija means seed, that you have a desire to do something specific. And that seed can be dormant for some time. In other words, it doesn't have to act right now. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of the garbanzo beans, the chickpeas that were found in the Egyptian pyramids. And they were thousands of years old. They were dried out. But as soon as water was put on them, they sprouted again. So that's a bija. We have a seed, or hopefully we don't. But someone has a seed in the material world of enjoyment, a particular type of enjoyment, and then as soon as there's an opportunity, it comes out. I mean, just like when one's sleeping, one doesn't usually engage in different types of material enjoyment except in the subtle platform. But when you wake up, you remember, I'm supposed to be lusty. I'm supposed to be greedy. I'm supposed to be angry. But even Ravana, or mundane demons like Hitler, I'm sure they looked peaceful when they were sleeping, when they woke up. So that's kuta, bija. And then when one does the actual act following the kuta and the bija, and then after that there's the aparabdha karma, which means it's not yet manifest. There's a reaction coming for your action. Let's say you have people here who are eating cows within Fiji, right? Some people eat cows. And so they seem to be all right. They're driving around in big cars and going to the restaurant. What's happening? You know, where's the karmic reaction? Well, as they say in India, just now coming. So it's coming in the future. It may come in next life, it may come in 2 hours from now, or it may come in 3 lifetimes from now. You know, everything is administered by the demigods, specifically by Yamaraj in that particular respect. So that's called aparabdha karma. And prarabdha karma is what you're suffering from now, or what a person is suffering from now. Let's say if someone has bad prarabdha karma, they are ugly, they have legal problems, they have health problems, they have no friends. Anyway, I'm not saying that any of you have prarabdha karma, but it's an indication of karma. That's called prarabdha karma. You understand? So, one interesting thing about prarabdha karma is that when one starts to chant the holy name, even Namabash, Namabash means accidentally you're chanting, or jokingly you're chanting, or even making fun of the devotees. Like one time, there was a newspaper article that was criticizing the Hare Krishna devotees. And
The devotees were upset. But in this newspaper article, they were saying Hare Krishna maybe a hundred times. So Prabhupada said, oh, very nice article. Even though the article was extremely critical of the devotees, Prabhupada said, very nice, because they're chanting Hare Krishna. So, because when one chants Hare Krishna, that's called Namabhas chanting. Then all the different karmas are eradicated, especially Prarabdha karma. So that's why when devotees join the Hare Krishna movement and they chant seriously, we don't worry about the horoscopes so much. I mean, maybe you can use the horoscopes when arranging marriages. Maybe. That's pretty good, I guess. To make sure that you don't marry a Rakshasa with someone of Rakshasa gone with a Deva gone. Anyway, you have to have some particular compatibility. I mean, obviously. I mean, you've got to consider material things when you're arranging marriages. Like, for example, there was one devotee who just came to one of our temples, and she's very tall. She's like over 2 meters tall, too. You know, very tall lady. And so there was a young man who I thought would be a good match for her. He's quite short. So that doesn't work. You know, because what is she going to do? Put him in her pocket or something like that? It just doesn't work. Even though they may be very good devotees, you know, you got to consider material things when arranging marriages, right? Or else you'd be in trouble. Or, you know, you want the man to be more educated than the woman. Anyway, different things like that. So, in any case, so that's when you can consider astrology. But otherwise, Prabhupada said, every time we dance and chant and clap our hands, the lines on our hands change. And that means, you know, these lines indicate your fate. These are the fate line. This is the life line right here, because you have to figure that out. It's pretty long. So you have to put up with me for a long time now. So therefore, devotees don't have Prarabdha karma, Aparabdha karma, Bhuta Bija. What they do have is a token reaction for the past karma. Token reaction means, Prabhupada gave the example of a fan. Some of you have heard this example before. Like if you have a fan, you pull it out of the PowerPoint and it's still going around. There's something called momentum. It's one of the scientific laws, the law of momentum, inertia. So it keeps on going around, 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 and it gradually slows down. So when we stop our karma, Prarabdha karma, then it's gradually, the reaction is gradually slowing down, but it's directly given by Krishna. So anyway, that's what we have to be suffering from. So if we have some problem, that's what it is. Or it's Krishna arranging to purify us. You know, Krishna says that for those who he especially favors, he puts them in difficult circumstances. Yashaham anagrinami harish ye tadanam shanahai. Ever heard that verse before? Krishna says, those who I favor, I put them in difficulty. Of course, you may say, I don't want to be favored by Krishna. Let Krishna favor someone else, you know. Not me, you know, me. I don't want that sort of blessing from Krishna. But that's Krishna's statement. And therefore, what happened? Look at the Pandavas. Look at Queen Kunti. Look at Pallad Maharaj. All these different varieties. Dhruva Maharaj even. Krishna put them in difficulty to bring them closer to him. So that's very important. So this is as far as karma is concerned for a devotee. So we're not really concerned with karma. And when something happens to us, don't say it's karma. Say that Krishna's arranging it. It may be a token reaction, but Krishna's arranging it for my purification and I have to see Krishna everywhere. Just like the story of Dharma the Bull. Dharma the Bull was being tortured by the personality of Kali and he didn't blame him for the torture. What he said was that Krishna was behind it. Because Prabhupada said that if you actually blame the person who's hurting you, you get angry with him, you're just as responsible. You have to see Krishna. And of course, Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Gita, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Jamayu Pashati Tashaham Na Pranashyami Sachame Na Pranashyati. Of course, that's an important verse, 630 in the Gita. Everyone should learn that verse. Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. So we have to see Krishna everywhere. So anyway, so they're talking about liberation. That's one of the types of liberation. But there are other types. Another type of liberation, there's five other types of liberation. One is the Sayuja Mukti, which is mentioned here by Prabhupada in the purport. Sayuja means merging into the existence of the Lord, emerging into the Brahma Jyoti, which is temporary mukti also. The mukti one gets from Namavas chanting is temporary mukti. The mukti one gets from merging, of course, we don't do that. We don't want to merge into the existence or the energy of the Lord or the effulgence of the Lord, because that's hell. Because you don't do anything. It's boring. It's extremely boring because you can't do anything. It's like being locked in a room, like in prison sometimes. If you've got a really bad prisoner, you put him into solitary confinement. You've heard about that before? You don't know. Never been in a prison. Well, I visited people in prisons. I used to go and preach to people in prisons. I don't do it anymore because when they get out, they forget about their Krishna consciousness. That's the problem. If they stay in their whole lives, fantastic. Then they can be great pure devotees. But when they get out, all hell breaks loose. So I've been in prison to visit people. And there's this place called solitary confinement where they're really bad prisoners. They just lock them up. They can't see anyone. They can't watch television. They can't do anything. It's just like a little tiny cell, torture. So that's Sayuja Mukti. And Prabhupada comments here, reciting this verse in the 10th canto, the 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when one's in that position of Sayuja Mukti, he falls down to the material world. Ultimately, because he gets bored. So that's one type of the Mukti. We did two types so far. And another type is Sarupya Mukti, which means having a form similar to that of the Lord. In other words, that's what's being described here, a Satchitananda form. Because in the spiritual world, everyone has Sarupya Bhakti, because everyone has a spiritual body made of Satchitananda. And there's another type of Mukti called Sharsti Mukti. Sharsti means having the same opulences as the Lord. And that's generally a Vaikuntha type of mukti, where you're in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha planets, and you're very opulent. You look like Lord Vishnu, and your wife looks like Lakshmi. Pretty good. And you're flying around in Vaikuntha airplanes, having a good time, chanting. You're not just like flying around going to Disney World or something like that. But you're flying around. That's Sharsti. Salokya. Salokya Mukti means to live on the same planet as the Lord. And that's true. All the people in the spiritual world, they live on the same planet as the Lord. Samipya Mukti, to associate with the Supreme Great. So these are the different types of liberation. So a devotee does not accept Sayuja Mukti, merging into the existence of the Lord. He considers that to be, as we mentioned before, like hell. So a devotee will accept other types of liberation, but a pure devotee doesn't ask for them. A pure devotee just asks, Mamma Janmani, Janmani Shri, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ohoitapi Tvaya. I just want to be engaged in your service, life after life. Or as Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, that I'll even be happy taking a birth as a worm if the worm is in the house of a devotee. Because the worm gets to eat prasadam then. He's in the house of the devotee and gets to hear the holy names. So that's a devotee. You know, Mamna Janmani, Janmani Shri, and Kita Janmohoy Yata Tuya Das. That's Bengali. It means, I'll take birth as a worm if I'm your das, if I'm your servant. So these are the different types of liberation mentioned here. And so the question is given here, actually, why were these living entities cursed? And the answer is, of course, you can't be cursed if you have a spiritual body, really. Because in a spiritual body, you can't make mistakes. In a material body, we make mistakes, we cheat others, we have imperfect senses, and we're an illusion. That's part of the body. Sometimes you don't see something that exists, sometimes you see something that doesn't exist. That's called a mirage. And we certainly make mistakes. I don't think there's anyone here in this room who hasn't made a mistake, right? And we may cheat others, hopefully we don't cheat others. But if we're doing business, we have to cheat others, right? You have to say, for you, there's no profit. Or, yeah, you're my good friend. But actually you're thinking, this guy's a jackass. But you have to put your arm on the guy and say, or if you're a politician, you have to kiss all the babies, and, you know, pick up everyone's babies and kiss them. And say, what a cute little baby you have. Even though the baby is ugly as sin. You can't say that. So that you, anyway, and being in the material world, there's always some thing that you're not completely honest with. Something. I mean, even sometimes in Krishna service, it was interesting. Like Prabhupada, one time when he was trying to arrange to get the Bombay temple, the Mumbai temple, he was confronting the person who was trying to cheat him. His name was Mr. Nair in Mumbai. And Prabhupada wanted to convince Mr. Nair to sign another contract because the devotees had actually thrown away the first contract. So Mr. Nair came to see Prabhupada, but he came with his guru to protect him against Prabhupada. He thought, you know, my spiritual guru will protect me from being bewildered by Prabhupada. Anyway, he understood Prabhupada was very strong. So what happened is that Prabhupada invited them all to take prasadam. And while they were taking prasadam, Prabhupada yawned. You know, yawning? Like that. And Mr. Nair said, oh, Swamiji, you look tired. And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm very tired. I need to rest. And so Prabhupada didn't rest. He wasn't tired. He was just tricking. So what happened is that Mr. Nair and his guru went to sleep in another room. And Prabhupada told the devotees, go into the room, but don't wake up the guru. Just wake up Mr. Nair. So that's transcendental cheating propensity. He said, wake up Mr. Nair. But be very quiet and wake up his guru. So he walked, Mr. Nair, get up. So Mr. Nair got up. And as you know, sometimes when people who are not Krishna conscious get up, they're a little groggy. You know, they can't think properly. I don't know if some of you ever experienced this after you've been drunk the whole night. Anyway, so I never drank. So he got up and he was groggy and Prabhupada was able to bewilder him and get him to sign the right contract. So sometimes in this material world we have to do things like that. Just to function, isn't it? So in the spiritual world, there's no defects. So being cursed, why would they be cursed by a great personality or the four Kumaras who are great personalities? Because the Lord likes to fight with his devotees. He doesn't like to fight with ordinary demons. And I'll tell a story to illustrate that. Once upon a time, there was an ordinary demon who challenged Krishna. And his name was Kalyavana. That means, Kalyavana means like a dirty demon, you know, and a yavana. It was actually a real bad demon. And so he challenged Krishna to a fight. And Krishna was thinking, he's just an ordinary demon. Why am I going to fight him? There's no fun. It's only fun fighting with my devotees. So what happened is that Krishna ran away from him. Krishna started running away from this demon. But Krishna had a plan. So his devotee would kill the demon. Krishna ran into a cave. And in that cave, there was a great devotee of Krishna named Muchukunda. There's a story in the Krishna book.
Yeah.
And Muchukunda was a great fighter, a kshatriya. And he had previously fought for the demigods, helped the demigods defeat the demons. So the demigods asked him after he'd been fighting, what benediction would you like? And Muchukunda said, I just want to go to sleep. I'm tired. You know, isn't it sometimes we experience that if you get really tired, and someone says, would you like something to eat? No. I don't want to go to sleep. So Muchukunda was thinking like that. I mean, it's obvious because his body was, you know, he was fighting for hundreds of years for the demigods. Not an easy thing. And so he said, I want the benediction that if anyone wakes me up, he'll burn to ashes. I can look at him and he'll burn me to ashes. Sometimes when we wake devotees up, they look at us like that. When I was a young brahmachari in charge of the other brahmacharis, I'd wake up the brahmacharis and they would not only look at me, they would threaten to hit me. Because I was very tough as a temple commander. I would sometimes drag the brahmacharis into the shower and turn on the water while they were still sleeping. We don't do that now, but in the early days we were tough. Or I played cartels in their ears to wake them up in the morning. But I made sure everybody got up for Mangal Arati. This is my standard. So, Muchukunda had the benediction, that benediction. So what happened is that Kalyavana went into the cave to find Krishna. The same cave Muchukunda was there. And Muchukunda was covered with his blanket. You know, when you sleep, you're covered with a blanket. And so Kalyavana goes in. Krishna's hiding in the corner of the cave, watching the whole thing. And Kalyavana thinks that Krishna is just scared and he's hiding under his blanket. So Muchukunda's just hiding under the blanket. So he thinks it's Krishna. So Kalyavana kicks Muchukunda. Get up! Fight! And Muchukunda gets up and boom! Kalyavana gets instant cremation. So therefore, Krishna didn't want to fight with him because he was too dirty. You don't like to fight with people who are dirty. They have to be clean. So anyway, so that's why Jai and Vijay descended to the material world to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight. And we mentioned in the previous class, that's one of the indirect rasas, you know, anger. Anger, the Lord likes to enjoy anger. And a perverted reflection, we get angry. But that's just maya or nonsense. That's a gateway to hell. Lust, anger, greed. These are the three gateways to hell. So how do we control anger? By not contemplating sense objects, by being compassionate to everybody, by thinking of Krishna's pleasure. That's how we control anger. But Krishna's anger is wonderful. So if you hear about Krishna's anger, fighting his devotees in the material world, then you can conquer your own anger. If you hear about Krishna's lust, dancing with the gopis, then you conquer your own lust. You won't want gopis to dance with. You won't even want to dance with your wife. Anyway, so... except in kirtan. Then you can dance with your wife in kirtan. That's okay. No problem. So, but not with gopis. So anyway, so you hear about these things, we lose our own desire to do these things. Or even watch mundane fighting, mundane... Like I always talk here in Fiji, when I'm in Fiji, about Bollywood movies, right? The reason you're interested in them is because you're not hearing enough about Krishna Katha. the reason you're interested in Fiji 7 is because you're not hearing enough about Krishna Katha. And the medicine, Bhavoshara Sotra Mano Viramat, Kautama Shloka Gunanavada. This is the fourth verse in the 10th canto, first chapter of Bhagavatam. Nivritta Tarsar Upagiyamanas. That if you want to be freed from the pain in this material world, the Tarsha, Nivritta, free, Upagiyamanas, Bhavoshara Sotra Mano Viramat, you have to hear about Krishna. Krishna's heroic activities. Kautama shloka gunanavada. Krishna's activities are praised in transcendental verses. Puman virajeta vana pashuknat. And only those who are engaged in killing animals will not be interested in these things. But sometimes we have to force ourselves to hear because we have jaundice-like mentality where you don't like sugar. So sometimes you have to force yourself because sugar is the cure to jaundice. You have to force yourself to hear, and then you start to relish. That's why we have regulation. We do certain things in certain, like right now, we have Bhagavatam class. But if we ask people to have Bhagavatam class spontaneously, they would never have it. That's why you have a schedule in the temple. You have Mangalarti. Because you're not on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti. You're on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. So we need schedule, doing the same thing every day, a regular sadhana process. And then we will get a taste, and ultimately it'll become spontaneous. So that's all I'll talk about today. Any questions, comments, arguments, problems? No?
I have been chanting, like basically, probably we are in Fiji, you know, that people are like singing bhajans of Rama and Krishna.
Yeah.
That would remind us that they may not suffer so much in hell as it could be.
They're not going to make spiritual advancement. Because their bhajans about Rama and Krishna and the people chanting the bhajans are not devotees. And so the statement is, when you hear about Krishna from someone who is not a devotee, it has poisonous effects. Sharpal chisti yatapayam, vaishnavamu ko girdam, hutam harikatam mutam, shabananayava kartavyam. So we have to hear about Krishna from devotees. I mean, you could sing all the bhajans you want about Krishna, but if they're not being sung, they're not bona fide bhajans, they may just increase your material desires. Because you're going to get, it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. That's what Sanatana Goswami says. He quotes from the Hari Bhakti Shudaya. So one has to be careful. Who is chanting? What are they chanting? So many bhajans are being chanted. I mean, I remember one time we arranged for a famous bhajan player to come to one of the temples I'm in charge of, not here in Fiji, but it's in a place called New Orleans. We wanted to do a fundraiser, you know, raise money. So we invited our whole congregation, filled the big auditorium with thousands of people. Everyone wanted to hear this famous bhajan singer from India. Yeah, I'm not going to mention his name. You can guess. Anyway, so everyone wanted to hear, and they're all going, oh, Govinda, 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 Govinda. And then after the bhajans, he and his followers went to the hotel they were staying in, ordered meat, and got drunk. I was shocked. Because he was so emotional, you know, he plays the harmonium. You know. I'm sure you've seen bhajan players like that.
Yeah.
You know, very expert, and his musicians, extremely expert musician. You're fantastic. I mean, he's one of the most famous in India. All the older bhajan singers. Anyway, I'm not going to mention. And I was shocked. And so there was no spiritual benefit from hearing from such a person. But, you know, at least the temple made money. I don't know if that's the right way to make money. It's almost like prostitution, you know. Isn't it? I mean, his money's not that important. It's like, Prabhupada said, like cracking nuts with a Shalaram Shila. You know, why should we do such things? Invite drunkards to chant Hare Krishna. Anyway, but he is engaged in Namabhas chanting, or actually Namaparada chanting, but anyway, obviously there's some benefit for him, but he's not going to progress in spiritual life, neither will the people who simply hear from him progress in spiritual life. That's the point. It's not Shudanam. The holy names do not come down through the lips, movement of the lips and the tongue. They have to descend through disciplic succession. Okay? Other questions? Yeah. That's called Jiva Mukta. Yeah, if someone's engaged, Sabaya Manav, Krishna Padara, Vindiyo, if someone is engaged, yes, and fully, then it's not considered that he has a material body. It's considered that his body is spiritual, it's still physical, but not material. Material means covered by the modes of material nature. But a pure devotee can have a physical body. Physical means he still has blood, he still has veins, he still has nervous system, still has a backbone and everything like that in the body. But it's not material anymore. It's considered spiritual. Even though the body is composed of earth, water, fire, air, ether, etc. You know, Panchamahabhuta. It's still considered spiritual because the modes of nature are not covering that body. In some cases, Krishna arranges for this physical body to be transformed to the spiritual body. Like in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Some cases, very rare. Don't think it's going to happen to you. The Christians think it's going to happen to them. What do they say? The bones shall rise again. You ever hear that expression? You know what? One reason why in Christianity and also the Islamic tradition, they bury people and don't cremate people? Because they think at the time of the Day of Judgment, at least the Christian, the coffin will open up and the bones will come out and the person... It's scary! It's scary, isn't it? I mean, just like, if you're at the cemetery and all of a sudden... The ground starts shaking and all the skeletons come out. That's what they think. That's why they don't cremate. We cremate because we want the soul to go on and not be attached to the damn dead body. You know, you're not that body, so, you know, don't want to look at it for the next 10,000 years as the worms eat it. Isn't it? So therefore, so in India you have cremation, and also the Jains, they throw the body to the vultures. Did you know that? Parsis, they throw the body to the vultures, they throw it, and the vultures, they watch. The vulture, you know what a vulture is? It's a big bird that eats bodies. I don't think you have vultures here, do you?
No.
In America we have big vultures, like Garuda's size. And they, whenever there's a dead body, they just, you see hundreds of them going around and around, and then they, and they go and eat the body. And so, anyway, don't want to scare everybody here. So we believe we're not the body, and sometimes Krishna arranges for the body to be transformed into a spiritual body. But that's not generally the case. Usually, chakvudeham punarjanman iti mamaiti sojana. Okay. Oh, another question. All right, you have a question? No.
How the soul is trapped in the body, but our soul, we are with the body,
yeah.
But we are encased.
Yes.
But encasement, we have to be aware of it.
Yes.
Then slowly we can walk towards rising spirituality.
Yes. Well, I just worry about pleasing Krishna and let Krishna take care of it. I don't really engage in Sankhya yoga. You know, Sankhya yoga means you just like analyze the engagement. Sankhya means to count in Sanskrit. So, you know, earth, water, fire. I don't think about that much. You know, earth, water, fire, air, either mind, intelligence, set, false ego, active material senses, perceptive material senses. I don't, you know, it's too much. What I just engage in bhakti. And I figure, you know, Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prayojita, Janayati, Asubhairagyam, Gyanam Charyad, Ahoitakam. If one engages in Bhakti Yoga, Krishna gives one detachment. Just try to please Krishna. But while you're pleasing Krishna, you'll see so many tests. You understand? There'll be so many challenges that you'll have. And those challenges may come from other devotees. You know, may come from your own body and mind, may come from the weather, may come from other devotees. And so that, see that as Krishna giving you a challenge. Like if a devotee acts harsh with you, see that as Krishna. Krishna's teaching me something. That's hard. It's hard not to get angry. It's hard not to respond. But generally, you know, we have two ways of responding to a circumstance. Like one is called fight, and the other one is called flight. You know, different people, some people fight, boom, I hate you. Other people, I'm getting out of here. Finished. So, those are both animal responses. That's the defense propensity. Because what do the animals do when they're confronted with a predator, you know, someone who's going to attack them? Some of them run away. But some of them have camouflage. Like, you have these chameleons, little lizards. You don't have any of that type of lizard here. But some of them can actually... I used to have a pet chameleon when I was a kid. And it was a lizard. You put him on... If you put him on this table, he would turn the color of the table. You ever have those? No, you don't have them here. And if you put them on a leaf, they turn green like the leaf. Wow. That's their defense, flight. And other animals, they fight, like a tiger or something like that. Tigers usually don't run away. So we have to avoid either fighting or running. We take the middle ground. Tatiksha. Matra sparsha stukotiya, first lesson, Gita. Sitoshna sukadugada. Agama paino nikdash. Tams tatiksha sha. Bharata or Tatenu Kampam Sushamikshamana Gurjanagadma Pratam Yipakam Ritvad Bapurvir Vidadam Namaste Jivayito Jivayito Mukti Padesa Dayabak. You know that verse? Tatenu Kampam. One should tolerate things and go on serving Krishna with his mind, his body, and his words. Ritvad Bapurvir Vidadam Namaste. And if one does that, then he becomes a fit recipient or inheritor for pure devotional service. Taptena Kampam Sushim. Famous verse. Sushimikshamanam. Bunjadabhatma Pratam Vipakram. Ritvad Bapurvir Vidadan Namaste. Jivetu Yo Mukti Pade. So Mukti Pade. You get liberated. Not only Mukti Pade, you get Bhakti Pade. So I think it's time to end. So thank you all very much, and see everybody tonight. Okay. All glorious to His divine grace. Here we are in Motoka, Fiji. Krishna Kaliya Dham, with all the wonderful Vaishnavas. Okay.